What's the difference between possessed and haunted?
A haunted house is a house with ghosts in it, the spirits of people who died. But the spirits of people living in a house possessed have never existed in human form. They've only existed in the spirit form. They're pure evil.
You're listening to Land of the Creeps.
Halloween, boom! It's Halloween time. Welcome to Land of the Creeps. I am your host, Greg Amortis, and super excited to be back for episode 169. As I always say, thank you for all the listeners that have reached out for episode 168 and all the good feedback. We appreciate it, but it is Halloween time, and I know this is actually coming out a week before Halloween, but it's all right. It's all right. That gives you plenty of time to listen to it before Halloween. And very excited, man. It's that time of year where everybody starts getting their boo on and mainstream media starts hitting their boom. And I like it. You know, it's Halloween at my house every day, but that's all right. If you just join in October, I'll welcome you into the family as well. But tonight it's going to be solo that we're going to bring in the meat man himself, Haddonfield Hatchet from Kentucky. What's up, brother?
What's up, buddy? OG LOTC going on right here.
Yeah, this is the solo cast. This is the way it used to be.
That's right. Oh, just you and me, buddy. You and me. First off, let's go ahead and give a big congratulations to Justin Beam and his new bride, Kendra. They got married on October the 14th.
In Newark.
Saratoga Springs, upstate New York.
In a haunted mansion, man, or a castle. That was pretty awesome.
I didn't know it was haunted, but...
Yeah, according to Justin, it's like one of the most haunted places on... I know in New York, it may be even on the East Coast or something. It's supposed to be, like, super haunted. So, what better place to get married at, Sean?
Yeah, I mean, I'm out. But, I'm not that. I get kind of creeped out over stuff like that.
Well,
but,
he said when he first checked in, he checked the TV and they had The Shining on. So there you go.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's well fitting. So, but a big congratulations to them.
Yes, absolutely.
Seen some of the pictures and stuff today, which we're recording this on the 15th of October. So that's why Justin's not with us tonight. So. But big congratulations to them, and I just lost my complete train of thought. It's been one of those days, buddy. we've got a good show tonight.
We got a really good show. Really good show.
Really good show. Boom. Boom.
Boo. I cannot wait. But yeah, I second what you said with Justin, man. Such a great dude, and Kendra is such a cool chick. That, man, they're just match made in hell, man. It's perfect. I love it.
Exactly. So
wish them all the best and long, long, long prosperous lives. And little Julian there looked like he was happy, too. So it just looked like a great time, man. I hate I couldn't be there, but
I know. Meg and I, we were wanting to go, and we had moved and everything. So we're still just trying to get everything squared away here. So wasn't able to head that way, but it would have been amazing. So, but you know,
yeah. But he knew we was there in spirit, and listeners. Yeah. Also, I got to mention this one as well. It looked like it was success with the horror movie podcast. I know that the sci-fi podcast, horror movie podcast, and some other podcasts got together with a meetup. And it was in Salt Lake City, Utah, and this is an annual thing they do. And I seen pictures of it and saw some videos. Wolfman Josh and some of them spearing it up. And our boy, Dr. Shock, made the trip to Utah, Double H, and was there. So that's freaking awesome. And mysteriously, I've still yet to see a picture of Dr. Shock.
Yeah, I don't think an actual photo of Doc Shock exists anywhere other than, like, the top of his forehead in, like, a profile picture or something.
Yeah, I think what happens, listeners, is that Dr. Shock is a ghost. I think he's, like, a spirit. Now, I have seen him physically because I have a photo of him way back in the day. But He's just mysteriously, I think it's in his contract that nobody is ever to know what he looks like.
It's got to be, because I don't even know what he looks like. Just like this mysterious voice that just all of a sudden shows up every so often.
But it did look like a success. So all you HMP listeners and sci-fi podcast listeners and all that, I hope y'all had a great time. It looked fun. Double H, I would have loved to have did it. Honestly, I would love to make that trip to Salt Lake City, Utah, just for the fact that, you know, Jay the Dead's there and Wolfman, it'd be cool to hang out with for sure from HMP. But, you know, movies such as Silent Night, Deadly Night filmed there, Halloween, some of the Halloween films were filmed there. Man, so many good films were there. I would love to do like a road trip. I know our buddy Kenny Caperton from the Myers House NC made a trip recently and did some pictures in front of some of the locations, which is freaking awesome.
Yes.
And super jealous. And while we're on that, I do want to mention, because you've got time, once this one airs, which this episode should be airing, I'm going to pull my calendar up, the 24th. So this weekend, as you're listening, this weekend on Saturday, October 28th, is Kenny Caperton's Halloween Bash. I believe this is the 9th year. And it's going to be a great turnout. I'm going to be there. Or I'll be square, but I will be there. I'm going to help do some work there for Kenny. He's going solo. This will be the first year he'll be solo. And so I'm going to help out and some of the other people, but they're going to be showing My Bloody Valentine, the original, and they're going to have Harvey, Harry Warden himself, the killer, who has done very, 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 very limited autograph sessions anywhere in the world, will be there, and he's going to be signing some 8x10 photos and different things. You can bring stuff to have him autograph. He will be there, as well as a screening of Halloween 4 and Halloween 5. So it was going to originally be Silent Night, Deadly Night, throw it in there, but he's canceled that and made it Halloween 5, just for the fact that Halloween 4 and 5 are kind of together anyways. So why not do them together? Which I'm totally for. And so it's going to be a great time. So go to MyersHouseNC.com and definitely check out the info in the bio and everything. Go. Be there. I know there's going to be some podcasting going on. Not from Land of the Creeps, unfortunately, but there will be some podcasts going on. There's going to be lots of trick-or-treat candy, food trucks. Like I said, the autograph session with the gentleman who played Harry Warden, which is going to be freaking phenomenal. It's just going to be a great night. Hopefully the weather holds up and all that good stuff. So be there. And when you do show up, ask for Greg Immortus and come find me. I'm not hard to find there at Double H, so I'll be probably working the merchandise booth or something. But I would love to see some of you listeners show up to Hillsboro, North Carolina at the Myers House NC, because I'd love to see you. Woo!
Maybe one of these days we can actually all go there and do the podcast.
It would be freaking phenomenal. And I'll tell you, maybe we can do this, listeners. Double H, let's mark it down. I'll get with Kenny. Let's try for the 10th. What better time than do the 10th year anniversary? And I know he's got something really super special signed up for next year already. So let's try to make a meet-up, greet-up at Kenny's house on the Halloween Bash next year. I think that'd be cool, and I can get with Dr. Shock. Maybe Dr. Shock can show up as well. Who knows?
You never know. It's possible.
Hey, by then, I may have a lot of money, and I'll give him money to fly down here, and we'll make it happen. So let's see if we can do that, listeners. So not this year, but next year, I'll get with Kenny and see if we can work something out. Maybe we can do a live broadcast from the Myers House NC 10th year anniversary of the Halloween Bash. I think it'd be freaking phenomenal, Double H. So let's see what we can do on that. But that's a year in the future. So let's go back to the present tonight, Double H. We are going to do one movie review will be from a listener, and he is Chris Cook, who we love. He is a great follower of the podcast, Double H. He's always tweeting about us, and he's just super badass dude.
Yeah, I mean, tweets, Instagram, he's all about it.
Yep, he is. So he did want to see if we would do Halloween 4, as I've actually not done any, believe it or not, any of the Halloween franchise, because I was sick at the time that we did the whole franchise, so I technically haven't done it, but he wanted to hear us talk about Halloween 4, Return of Michael Myers, so we're going to do that, as well as the fairly newly released Tales of Halloween, the 10 short story anthology style Halloween film. So that's what we're going to review tonight. Double H, we got to shout out all those that hit us up on Facebook and on Twitter as I asked, you know, what kind of movies or theme would you like us to cover this year on Halloween. We had great suggestions, dude. We really did. Unfortunately, time strain and different things, we couldn't work out all those, so we're going to do the Halloween 4 Tales of Halloween. But I have marked all these down, and we will try to work each one of these movies into future episodes for sure, without a doubt. I know Salem's Lot was mentioned a few times. Stevie Kachuk, Joy Sheehan, and a few others had mentioned Salem's Lot, which I think we've actually reviewed that in the past.
Yeah, it's been a while, though.
Yeah, definitely, but great film, I mean, without a doubt.
I think we either did Salem's Lot when we did the Stephen King, or it was with my vampire.
Could have been your vampire pick.
It could have been, and that would have been in them old early days.
Them old early days. But regardless, man, we'll work in each one of these movie suggestions, because we did have some great suggestions, man. So thank you so much to everybody that reached out. But like I said, we're going to do Halloween 4, and we're going to do Tales of Halloween. We're going to start out with Halloween 4, The Return of Michael Myers, and then we'll save Tales of Halloween for last. I do want to mention as well, as far as Halloween this year, I think some really, really, really great horror films have come out thus far, Double H, like some really knockout horror films, which I'm very, very happy about. And I found myself, I know Stevie Kachuk, our buddy Stevie, had said, man, keep everything old school and go old, which I'm with you there, Stevie. I love the old films, but I'm trying to, like, dive into the newest films as I can, as many as possible. And I'm thoroughly enjoying it, dude. I recently watched Stephen King's, it's on Netflix.
Gerald's Game?
Gerald's Game. We're going to review that really soon because I did watch that. The Void. Somebody had mentioned us to review The Void. I've watched that one, and I've watched quite a few new films, man. There's one called Dead Awake with Jocelyn from House of the Devil, and love that film. Kenny had a soft spot for that film as well because of Jocelyn, but watched that one recently, man. So there's going to be some new horror films we're going to be reviewing that's on Netflix. So definitely, if you have a Netflix account, man, go over, check out some of these new horror films because there are some really good ones. But I said all that to say this. My core Halloween films have always and will always have kind of the same flavor, as far as I always watch Night of the Living Dead, Double H. That's a staple just for whatever reason. Definitely Devil's Rejects, House of Thousand Corpses, I always throw in. Cannot, and we'll probably mention this when we talk about Tales of Halloween, but definitely Michael Dougherty's Trick or Treat.
Yes.
God, that is such perfection to me. That movie hit in every aspect of greatness for Halloween, Double H. Oh, love that movie.
It's one of my favorites.
Yeah, absolutely. So that one I always watch since it came out. Satan's Little Helper. Man, God, if you, once again, I say this every Halloween, if you've not watched Satan's Little Helper, watch it, man. Buy it, get it, whatever you got to do, man. It's such a great film. I will always watch that. On the kids' side, I love to watch The Worst Witch with Tim Curry, and I know it's Disney-ish-esque and really childish, but it's just something I've done since I was a kid, so it's more of a tradition for me than it is that I absolutely got to watch it. It's just a tradition, and I love it. So I will watch that one, and I will be watching, of course, the Halloween franchise. I always watch that, obviously. Night of the Demons will be thrown in there for sure. But Dark Knight of Scarecrow's always in there. Even though it's weird, Double H, because there's nothing really, it's not revolving around trick-or-treating, it's nothing like that, but it's just, that movie, to me, reeks for me Halloween because of the love of that movie. So I always watch it. But any movies on your radar this year, Double H, that you're watching?
Probably going to go watch Happy Death Day.
Yes. I wish you was near me so we could do that. I'm going to interrupt you, and then you can continue. Dr. Dirty, I've been talking to Dr. Dirty, so hopefully we'll get Dr. Dirty back real soon. But we're in talks of going to watch that together, Happy Death Day, so I'll keep you posted on that. But go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, I mean, it is the number one film right now in the country over the weekend. Beat out Blade Runner 2049. So,
and it's a slasher film.
Yes, it is. And I mean, you think about it. Well, the guy that wrote the screenplay for it is an old school X-Men comic book writer from back in the 90s, Scott Lobdell. So it's a big hit for Blumhouse. So, nice. Hopefully they can keep this on a roll until next year. Just saying.
Yeah, because Blumhouse is on a roll, dude. I am loving everything they put out. And they're getting ready to do the Halloween, so...
Yeah, so we'll see how all that works. Kind of curious. There's a few things on Netflix I want to watch. We watched, something? Little Devil or something like that?
Yeah, Little Devil.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. It's a horror comedy. It was a bundle of laughs.
Okay.
Then, of course, I'm going to end up going and watching Halloween at one of our local theaters. But nothing really comes and sits on my radar. I just kind of like, oh, hey, I'm going to go check this out.
Yeah.
You know, if it pops up, I'll watch it. Meg's going to make me go watch, she's not going to make me because I'm actually going to go watch it. Madea Butu.
Butu.
Yeah, the first one was a little letdown-ish, but this one looks a little bit better, so so we're going to go watch it, and we'll see if anything else comes out that kind of sparks that interest. I won't say Flatliners, too. So
yeah, hopefully we can get Happy Death Day in, folks, and if we do, then we'll do a review of it in the next couple weeks. I'm going to tell you one, too, Double H, that really kind of has my spark, and that's a movie on Netflix now called Babysitter. So I really want to see that. It's more of a comedy horror as well, but I'm hearing great things about it. So maybe we could look at doing that and The Little Devil, just because it revolves around kid kind of element. So maybe we can make that happen on the next episode or something, or next couple episodes, because I definitely want to see The Babysitter. And that's kind of the babysitter ends up being in a satanic cult, and I did watch a trailer, which I didn't want to do, but the trailer looked gruesome, so I'm all down for it, and so maybe we'll do that, Double H.
I've actually seen that and thought about it. Yeah, I didn't watch it yet, I'd seen that it was coming. So.
Okay.
So, but...
All right, so there's something that we can do for you, listeners.
If I get distracted, it's because the Brides of Dracula are on Turner Classic Movies. So
Brides of Dracula.
Yeah, old school Peter Cushing, you know, it's good stuff.
It don't get no better than that. So that's just some of the movies, listeners, that, you know, we watch on Halloween and some that's on our radar. So a lot of good horror films, man. A lot of good ones this year. I'm super stoked, man. I'm going to tell you, a top 10 is going to be hard this year. But anyways... I think without further ado, Double H, we're going to go ahead and get right into our Halloween 4, the Return of Michael Myers review. And, Double H, Halloween 4, and this is for you, Chris Cook, and for all you listeners, but special shout out to you. Read it on the back of the Blu-ray box. And guess what, Double H? I'm off reading off the back of the Blu-ray box. It actually has Justin Beam's name on it before the douchebag has removed it.
It's one of the best commentaries
for
any of the Halloween films. If I'm not mistaken, I took my Blu-ray disc out of the first release of that, and switched it out because there was something not right that wasn't cool with the big box set. I don't know if it was the artwork or whatever, but I think I might have switched the slip, the insert, and the disc out. Just for simple fact that Justin Beam does some of the best commentaries. Not saying that as, like, you know, he's one of my best friends or whatever, but he puts out great stuff.
He does. And back of the Blu-ray box says he changed the face of Halloween. Tonight he's back. He butchered 16 people trying to get his sister. He was shot and incinerated, but still the entity that Sam Loomis, the legendary Donald Pleasance, calls evil on two legs, would not die. Tonight, Michael Myers has come home again to kill. This time, Michael returns to Haddonfield for Jamie Lloyd, played by the so beautiful Danielle Harris. Shout out, congratulations. And this is nothing new. I mean, this baby's probably almost a year old now, but she did have a child recently, so shout out to Danielle for that. Cute, cute little baby. But the orphan daughter of Laurie Strode and her babysitter Rachel, played by the also so beautiful Ellie Cornell, can Loomis stop Michael before the unholy slaughter reaches his innocent young niece? Return of Michael Myers, Double H. I think without further ado, you got to mention why it's called The Return.
And 10 years later.
10 years later, and obviously it's coming after, you know, Season of the Witch, which caught so much flack, you know, on the release, and people were outraged because there was no Michael Myers, yada, yada. So Dwight H. Little and the powers to be decided to call this The Return and pick it up as if 3 never happened, and it picked up kind of after number 2. So it kind of, you go 1, 2, 4, 5 kind of deal. There's mention of the fact that Michael had been shot 6 times, and there's the mention of him being burned, and, you know, you got the return of Dr. Loomis all burned up and different things. And that's kind of where this scenario starts off, and it's called The Return because of that. Great little film, man. I really enjoyed it. I'd actually went back, Double H, to our show notes from when y'all reviewed it. And if I'm not mistaken, I think this one we all gave an 8.5. I really enjoy it, man. All the way from, I'm not a big fan of the mask, but
yeah,
but the story is okay coming out of number 2. I do enjoy the story. I do like the fact that, you know, Jamie Lloyd, the daughter of course, Laurie Strode, and that Michael's returning after her kind of deal. I do like that. I love Danielle Harris. I thought she'd done a superb job as a child. I don't know the hell. I know it had to be hell going through some of these scenes because there was a lot of stunt scenes in this one, preferably in... And obviously on top of the rooftop toward the end, I know there's some scenes up there, which I'm sure was only 10 feet off the air, but still some things there. But I really like this film, and I recently rewatched it, I believe 3 days ago, and it still holds up, man. It really does.
It does hold up. Like, I watched it a couple times, and even with the commentary on, like, last month, probably towards the end of last month. And it does hold up. Like, the opening scenes and the opening credits and everything are just, it's one of the best opening scenes ever for, like, a Halloween film ever. It gets you in the mood for Halloween.
Yeah, Kenny Caperton has gone on record, and he will tell you this himself. This Halloween 4, the intro, I'm talking about the title sequence when it first comes on, is his favorite title sequence of any horror film, Halloween film, period. And I've got to agree with him. I mean, it's got the pumpkins, it's got the skeletons, it's got everything that makes you feel Halloween. It's Midwestern, you know, yada yada. And this is gorgeous, man. I love it.
It is just, I mean, it sets the mood, and it gets right to the point. It's like, hey, this movie, I mean, even though it's filmed in Utah, it gives you that Midwest you know, Illinois, that whole vibe.
It does.
It hits you right in the face.
It does. And it gives you scares. This movie does have scare moments. I love Bo Starr, who plays Sheriff Meeker. I liked him. I thought he pulled off a great character there as far as coming after Charles Cypher's character of the sheriff from Sheriff Brackett from number one. I think he had that element that Charles Cypher's had in the original, and I loved that.
Yeah, you know, it's like when you first watch it, you kind of get that vibe. It's like, oh, it's a different sheriff.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like he's one of those characters. It's like, yeah, he's different. He's not what you want.
Right.
Because you're like, oh, I want Charles Cypher's. I want, you know, Sheriff Brackett. But it's obvious that after the events of Halloween 1 and then later on in Halloween 2, Sheriff Brackett decided to retire. So
he went to Florida. He got the hell out of town.
Yeah. It's like, you know what? I'm not taking a chance that this guy's coming back again.
Smart.
But he's really good.
Yes.
I mean, he's believable as a sheriff. You know, he's got like his daughter. She's insane. You know, she's a boyfriend stealer.
Kathleen Kinmont.
Oh. Yep. Cops do it by the book, or cops do it best, or whatever. I don't know.
It don't matter.
It's like if you're reading that if you're reading that T-shirt logo, something.
The biggest tease in that movie was when she took her shirt off, and you were like, and then it was like,
Yeah. Good times, though. Good times.
Yeah. But great scenes. Great scenes, man. I loved Sasha. The character of Brady, played by Sasha Jensen, which he is the player. You know, he's in love with Rachel, but Rachel broke her date with him on Halloween night, and he goes with Kelly instead, and then there's a whole little awkward moment. But Sasha done great. Ellie done great. I thought the acting as a whole was really strong. And there again, Danielle Harris stole the show, man. I mean, she was able to give you the dread, the fear, the tears, everything, man. I thought she done a tremendous job.
She's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even as an adult, she's got that killer scream, even when she was in Hatchet 2 and 3. So
yes, and I want to see Hatchet. I want to see Victor Crowley movie number 4 so bad.
Yeah, I know. Here in 4 days, Adam Green's going to be in Columbus, Ohio, which is about 2.5 hours, 3 hours from where I'm at right now. So I want to go. I'm trying to see if I can get them to bring it to the Kentucky Theater, and I'm not having any luck yet. So, they're actually redoing some remodeling at the theater, and they're going to open back up on the 27th. So maybe I can keep hounding them until they agree to bring it.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, Halloween 4, you got George P. Wilbur playing Michael Myers, who I thought, he's not my favorite Michael Myers by no means. I mean, he's good. He's not great. I mean, he just kind of, because there's scenes in this one, like one scene in particular is when Rachel takes Jamie trick-or-treating, okay? And then they get separated due to the fact that Rachel saw, you know, Brady inside with Kelly, and then there's that whole little awkward moment. Jamie's out trick-or-treating, and then they get separated, and they're, you know, that kind of deal. And then Sheriff Meeker shows up with Dr. Loomis, and it's that whole awkward moment, get in the car, and then they look, and he says, there's Michael, and he says, are you sure it's him? And it's like, yes, and all of a sudden there's another Michael, and then another Michael, and then another Michael, and it's like, holy shit, you know, there's multiple Michaels here. Which one is it? And then ends up being a kid prank. The one thing I did feel, Double H, in this movie, does it not feel kind of like a rehashing of 1 and 2 with some of those moments? The whole multiple Michaels was done in Halloween 2 with Ben Tramer and his crew. You know, the Halloween 1 feel of this. It kind of rehashing it with giving it a little story, but... you know what I'm saying? Do you feel what I'm saying here?
Yeah, it's like, you know, I mean, yeah, it has been 10 years since, you know, the first one came out.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the other stuff's been done. I mean, you know, for the people that hadn't seen the original one, you kind of had to go do a little throwback to it, but
yeah,
it just, some of the stuff seemed forced. Like George P. Wilbur, I mean, I've never met him, so
I have.
But as far as like Michael Myers to me in part four, too much shoulder pad.
Yeah, he's very broad, which George is broad. He's a broad dude.
Yeah, too much shoulder pad. The blonde hair showing up occasionally wasn't, you know, was that one? Yeah, there was, I think, was there not a scene where the hair looked weird in this one, in four?
Yeah, there is one scene, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, that, and then the mask just looks like you went to the store and bought, like, went to Spirit Halloween or Party City and bought, like, the generic version.
Which goes into that whole lore of the Myers mask itself that has changed through all the films.
Yeah, it's like, how does Michael keep getting a different mask? You know?
It's like, no, damn it! I mean, the original.
It's like, if you can make the latex, if you can get an old Shatner mask for the original, you can surely sculpt. You know, yeah, that's just me, but hey, whatever.
I'm really hoping though that, well, we'll talk about that later. Let's just stick with four. But yeah, the Myers mask, it was kind of weak in this one.
Yeah, it's probably this one and part five are probably the weakest ones.
Yeah.
For me, and part six.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
part six mask is growing on me though, man. I know Trick or Treat Studios put it out and I'm really wanting it now. I don't know why, because it is one of the weaker ones, but the more I look at it, I'm like, yeah, I kind of dig it now.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to be a mask collector, you might as well get them all.
Yeah.
God, I mean,
the problem with mask collecting, Double H, is if you don't have the proper ventilation and way to keep it, they end up breaking down, and that's what I fear with, you know, because I've got the Halloween, both Halloween 2s from Trick or Treat Studios, the blood version and the clean version.
Yeah.
All right, now, I don't have a shadow box or any way to keep it kind of properly sealed up and, you know, the way it should be. You know, mm-hmm. I just have to display them out. Right now, they're in a freaking box, which is crushing me because, you know, I'm still in between homes right now, so I'm like, oh, kills me every time I have to get something out of storage building. I go over and I pull out my box, and I've got them on a stand, but they're in a box. I'm like, you're poor in the storage building.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm going to end up having to buy two more again. I know I am.
Yeah, I've got the non-blood one, and it's just, it's still in the bag that it came in,
mm-hmm.
but it's like laying in a box, but it's like the box is open, so
yeah,
I don't know.
Mine never did fit right. I'm going to give a little nod to Trick or Treat. Done a great job. One of mine fits perfect. Like, it looks great when I put it on. The other one is, like, super big, and I don't know. It's just awkward. And I'm like, I don't know why they're supposed to be the same size, yada, yada. But, yeah, anyway.
Maybe your head just shrunk.
Yeah, but the other one fits perfect.
I don't know.
But Halloween 4, man, I'm telling you, Halloween 4 is a great film. I think it's a good addition in the franchise. It's not the resurrection, thank God.
Justice for Bucky.
Justice for Bucky, man. What about Bucky when he got thrown in? My dad was funny, man. My dad walked in on that scene. And, you know, when he gets ready to throw Bucky and he throws him in, you hear all that screaming and hollering. Dad said, there wouldn't be no screaming if you got thrown into that big electrical.
He's got a point.
I'm pretty sure it would have just been.
Yeah, it'd been done. But, I mean, listen, Bucky was just like, hey, man, what are you doing here? You know, he didn't have to hurt him. He didn't.
Bucky was like, dude, you know, what are you doing here? Step away, buddy. Hang on a minute. I'm going to make a call.
He could have just went ahead and did what he wanted to do, left Bucky alone, but no.
Poor Bucky.
No justice
for Bucky, man. I love that scene, man. I love this movie from start to finish, and I'm going to rewatch it again before Halloween, because I'm going to watch 4 and 5 together, because I always do that. And I always save Halloween 1 and Halloween 3 for Halloween itself. I always watch Season of the Witch on Halloween night. Because I love that film, and I don't care who in here says, oh, I hate that movie. Well, that's your prerogative. I love it. I think it's a tremendous, tremendous, awesome film. So I always watch that one. So I'll watch Halloween 1 and Halloween 3 on Halloween night. Halloween 2 will be the night before. I do them all chopped up. Double H, I'm weird like that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm the same way. It's like Meg, bless her heart, she's a real trooper. She'll go... She'll go watch. She's like, I can't tell you how many times I've seen Halloween 1.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I just love it. But she, you know, I told her, I was like, and I asked her, I was like, will you go? She's like, of course I will. So she's a trooper.
She's so
sweet. So, it's yeah, she is. Like she's that. The sweetest. She's willing to put up with me and to go watch Halloween every year, even though it's like, I don't watch it as much now
mm-hmm.
as I used to
mm-hmm.
but at the same time I'm like if it comes to the theater I'm like ooh, I gotta go watch it.
Yeah, she's a trooper, she's a keeper. Yeah, Halloween 4, man, I would stick with my 8.5 rating on it without a doubt.
No, most definitely.
Yeah, I'm not gonna waver from it. It will go up more than it would ever go down. But it's a must watch, man. It's part of the series. And with that said, Double H, I think it's safe to mention now that more news has come out about the H40 or the 2018 Halloween. They have announced that now it's kind of doing away with two and it's going to be kind of a direct right behind number one.
Yeah, well, fuck them. Hey,
so I don't... You know, hey, here
I'm going to give it its due, but mm-hmm. at the same time, I'm like, when you bring in a comedian
mm-hmm.
to do whatever it is he does for a living, you know, but at the same time, I'm going to give it its fair shake, and I'm going to be like, I'm going to go watch it, I'm going to support it.
Yeah.
And if I hate it, I will let it be known that I absolutely hate it, but I will purchase it
mm-hmm.
because it will be part of the collection.
Yep.
Even though it may be one that I don't watch very often.
Just like Resurrection. I have multiple copies of Resurrection, and it's not my favorite of the series, but I do because it's Halloween.
I watch it occasionally. I mean, I watched it last week.
Yeah. I think their philosophy, I mean, I don't know because I'm not writing the script. I'm not doing the screenplay of this movie, but I think maybe they're trying to prevent it from having the whole... You know, Myers was burned up and having to explain that number two. Maybe they're going a different route. Well, I don't know, listeners. I don't. But like Double H said, I will be there opening night, and I'll probably end up watching it 3-4 times in the theater, and then I'll buy it when it comes out, and I'll support it. But like Double H said, if it sucks, I will say it sucks. I mean, I'm not going to say, you know, it didn't. So hopefully it's going to be a great film. Who knows? I just – there again, all these – people that have jumped on board and said they know exactly what's happening. I think you just found out you don't know exactly what's happening. So it seems like it's changing day by day. I did read where John Carpenter is doing the score. So, hey, we got that. And then Double H sent me a link, and I'd actually just heard it a minute before I read your post about Trent Reznor redoing or kind of revamping the Halloween
song. Oh, it was so good.
It's so atmospheric, and it lasts like 8 minutes long, and it kind of starts out with like a rumble, like a and then, you know, kind of Nine Inch Nail-ish, and then you start hearing the theme. They've done a really, really, really good job. John Carpenter was really pleased with it. So if you haven't...
Of course he's going to be pleased, but he's going to get that check.
Get that money. So if you haven't listened to it, it's out there on iTunes. I know you can go ahead and download it, purchase it on iTunes. I pay for the $9.99 monthly subscription for iTunes Music, so I've already downloaded it, got it on my playlist. So
yes.
It's very, very well done. And also, of course, Halloween themes and different things I've got on my playlist. If you saw my playlist, you'd be like, good God, Greg and Mortis.
Yeah, mine's probably right there with you, buddy.
Very sporadic. But anyways, Halloween 4, Chris Cook, 8.5 for you, my brother. And I love it. I don't know how you feel about it, but I absolutely love it. And it's a great film. So there you go. next Double H, let's go into our final review of the night, and that's this little film called Tales of Halloween. It is available on Netflix. If you're in America, there are listeners. Go figure. I love Netflix, by the way, even though them little asses are raising the price again.
Again, I know. They got to pay for them the studio movies that they're making now.
Yeah, which, hey, if they give us more Stranger Things and stuff like that, hey, I'll support you.
Just yeah.
When it starts getting $15, $20, I'm going to have to start looking at saying, hey, this may not be the best thing for me anymore. All right, Double H. Tales of Halloween. It is 10 short horror films. Well, I say horror films. They're 10 short horror stories that kind of intermingle together, and they revolve around the night of Halloween. And, yeah, that's your plot, man. Just a hodgepodge of horror. Most of them, I would say a majority of them, Double H, are definitely on the comedic side or more slapstick side. But with that said, multiple directors, each one had their own director, and each one was written by different people, multiple cast. I do like a lot of the cast now. This is kind of the who's who somewhat of independent horror. You've got anything from Tiffany Shepis to Tiffany Shepis' daughter. You've got Felissa Rose, her daughter. You've got Adam Green himself in here. You've got a lot of characters. And, of course, the very vivacious and beautiful Adrienne Barbeau, kind of resurrecting her character from The Fog as the narrator, which I absolutely loved. I think the opening sequence with the whole cartoony flip-up book kind of style with her talking Double H was perfect, man. I love
it. Oh, I know. She's awesome.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it kind of gave you almost that campfire story feel, which I love because I love campfire stories. I've said that multiple times in the past on the podcast. Kind of like The Fog when, you know, the gentleman's there telling his story of The Fog, what happened. Those always are, if you want to get me intrigued and get me to be excited about a movie, throw in a campfire story and you've got me hooked, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's, I mean, there's just so many, out of all these 10, they were funny. Like, Meg actually watched it with me. And that first segment, Sweet Tooth,
yeah,
she got hooked.
Yeah.
She was like, okay, I'm going to watch this one. And then she's like, well, we'll watch the second one. So we watched the second one. And then I was like, wow, it's over.
Yeah.
I mean, it was good.
It was. It's an hour and 32-ish minutes. IMDb gives it a 5.4 rating, but, you know.
Totally too low. Totally too low.
Totally, yeah. Totally. Yeah. PJ with.
Oh, speaking of PJ Souls, Fright Rags just released the PJ Souls shirts.
I know.
That have Linda's face on it.
Fuck. Gotta buy them. Oh, damn it. Fright Rag's killing me, dude.
I know. It's like, here, just shut up and take my money.
I know. It's like, dude, just put me on the mailing list and send me every fucking t-shirt you put out, you assholes.
Yeah, I ain't gonna lie. It's like, I wonder if, like, you know, they could be like a sponsor, or we could, you know.
Yeah, they wouldn't have to pay us. They'd just give us free shirts.
Yeah, just give us like a couple t-shirts every month, and we'll like pimp them out for free.
Hell yeah, you can come on the podcast anytime, Fright Rags, because we love you, man.
Yeah, I mean, I just want the Halloween t-shirts, but I'll pimp out all the other t-shirts too.
Hell yeah. But like Double H said, there is 10 short stories. You got Sweet Tooth, which was written directed by Dave Parker, and a lot of these directors have done multiple things. There's directors that's done the Saw series, you know. You got Lucky McKee up in here. You got a lot of talent in here, and a lot of acting that is talent.
Right. Well, I mean, you got Paul Sollett, you got Darren Lynn Bozeman.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Neil Marshall.
Yep.
I mean, like Paul Sollett, Neil Marshall. A lot of these people are like staples of like Adam Green's short films and stuff like that. You know, if I'm not mistaken, Paul Sollett was in Jack Chop.
Yeah, and I love Jack Chop.
Yeah, Jack Chop. It's like one of the best Halloween short films ever.
If you've never watched it, go to Areascope and go to their section over on Areascope. website, Adam Green's website, and look up the short Halloween films that they do, and look at Jack Chop, man. I'm telling you, it is gold.
It's one of the best ones.
Gold.
One of them. But, yeah, I mean, like, the directors, like you said, the directors and, you know, some of the writers and stuff like that, it's these cats that have been doing a lot of this independent horror. I mean, you got Carolyn Williams, Robert Russler, Christina Klebe. I mean, Adrian Curry. Yep. I mean, come on.
Yeah, because Sweet Tooth, directed by Dave Parker, starts out with Robert Russler and Caroline Williams playing mom and dad. And I loved Sweet Tooth. I thought it was a great way to start a horror film out or an anthology. And it's set up with a little boy that's coming home trick-or-treating. He's been eating all his candy, Double H. And then the sister and the boyfriend of the sister come in and they start telling this campfire-style story about Sweet Tooth, who what it was mom and dad had eaten all his candy for years on Halloween, and one night he decided to find out why they always taking his candy, and they come down and find out what was going on. He butchers his mom and dad.
Yes, that's because they was eating it and getting a little freaky in the sack.
Freaky deaky. So he ends up butchering them, and they said in the story that due to the fact that he ate all the candy, he was still wanting more, and he guts them and eats them. And you know, I'll spoil the very first one. I won't spoil anymore. But anyways, Sweet Tooth comes after this little boy, and it becomes real. And I love the makeup effects in this one. It's pretty damn gory. I thought they'd done a great job with the effects. And it looks, every segment in this one looks phenomenal. It really does.
There's a ton of practical effects. Mm-hmm. There's even some claymation-y kind of effects.
We're going to talk about that one.
Yeah, and then really the only effects that are really lame and cheesy are the CGI fire.
Oh, yeah. And there's a couple different segments with the CGI fire that was horrible. Really was. But Sweet Tooth, I had to put the little nod to John Carpenter. There's a little Carpenter candy bar.
I noticed that too.
Yeah, but I had to put great episode right beside that one, man. That one was great. Then you go into number two, which is The Night Billy Raised Hell. And that one was written by Clint Sears and directed by Darren Lynn Boozman. And man, this one right here, you've got Felissa Rose. It was off the chain, man. You got Felissa Rose in it. Adam Green plays a cop, which he plays in multiple at least three or four more of the segments as a cop. And then you got Adrian Curry.
And then in this one, wasn't Felicia Rose, wasn't she just kind of like she was in and out real quick?
Yes. Yeah, it was just a flash. That's what, yeah. But it's
Barry Bostwick was in it.
Oh, yes.
He was funny. I was watching it, and I didn't know he was in it because I hadn't looked it up yet, so I wanted to wait. Mm-hmm. And I looked, I was like, I think that's Barry Bostwick. And come to find out, he was here like a couple weeks ago for a horror convention.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, Barry Boswick, that's funny. It's like, I'm glad to see he's working again.
Yeah, but I loved this one. It's the fact that the boy, there is a boy in this one that, you know, they're set up by the brother or sister, whatever, to go to this house because this house is never decorated. And he goes to the house and this old creepy old man, he's like, hello there, little kid. And he takes the child and the boy. Well, anyways, all shenanigans goes on because this one has so many of this little devil child boy doing all these pranks that the old man's putting them up to. And it ends up coming up to shootings and murders and stabbings.
Midgets.
And yeah, it's so good, man. This one is so freaking good.
Listen, this is the one that Meg was like, she was laughing at this one. She was laying on the couch watching it, and she was just dying laughing. She's like, this is more like a comedy. And I was like, it's hilarious.
It was, because this had that feel, Double H, of some of, maybe Adam Green with Chillerama-esque feel. It kind of had that feel about it.
Yes, it did.
And I loved it. And there's another one in here that definitely had the Chillerama feel about it.
Yes.
But I loved this. And this one was probably one of my favorites, man. This segment right here, The Night Billy Raised Hell. I just loved the whole premise of it. And I love the old man. Even the scene where he's laying down, and Adrian Curry's character comes up, and he's playing dead, and then he jumps up, and he's like, ooh, can I have your autograph?
Yeah. Was it 550,001 or something like that?
5,000. I think it was 5,000 followers.
500,001 or something. Yeah, yeah, something crazy. I laughed.
She's like, how many Twitter followers do you have? And she's like, I don't know, like 5,000 or 500,000. He said, no, 500,001.
One.
Perfect.
Like, yep.
Perfect. Loved it. Loved it.
Good times.
Yep. And then the next segment's called Trick. This one right here was written by Greg Commons, directed by Adam Gersh. And this one actually starred Tiffany Shepis, and actually Tiffany Shepis's daughter's in this one, which I thought was pretty groovy. And as well as Felissa Rose's daughter is in this one, which I thought was pretty cool too. And this one is revolving around kids, and I like the setup of the trick-or-treaters, and then there's a stabbing, and the kids are doing this murder spree, kind of Children of the Corn-esque, and this one has some really good effects in it. It has some cheese in it, too. Some of the effects were bad, you know, fake eyeballs and that kind of deal, but the premise of it was good.
It was, and I kind of got a little lost in translation on this one.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm like, okay, what's going on here? Because the end of that one kind of messed with me. Because I'm like, okay, or what's the deal with these people? And then Meg kind of like told me, she's like, oh, and I'm like, I don't know. Okay,
yeah,
I see it.
Yeah, without
it was. Spoiling. Yeah, I don't want to spoil it. I don't want to spoil it just because it's a. It's,
I know what it's you're saying.
Yeah, because I was like, what just happened here?
Yeah, I know what you're going to, and there is nods to what has happened with one of the victims with the cell phone deleting some pictures, like video pictures and stuff. So I kind of put two and two together to figure out what has happened and what is happening. This one's more of a thinking. I put beside this one, it was good. It's not great or excellent, but it was good.
Yeah,
I did like the fact that, you know, Tiffany Shepis was in it, who's one of my all-time favorite Scream Queen actresses by far. Love her. Tremendously love her. Got her in multiple movies. Met her in person. Great. I sound like the douchebag. not my president, but the douchebag. Really, really great. It's really big. But anyway.
Yeah.
But, no, I do love Tiffany Shepis, and I thought she was great. And I did like the nod that they had her daughter in there, and Felissa Rose's daughter, which was really cool. So I did like the way they did that. But it's not one of the better of the segments. It's okay. It's good. You know, this one I'm glad they didn't start out with. Throw it in the
middle. Yeah, if they'd have started out with this one, it might have been a little bit,
But it was okay for what it was. Then you get into the fourth one, which is The Weak and the Weak, W-E-A-K, and The Wicked. This was written by Molly Millions and directed by Paul Solit. And this is where a young kid ends up kind of summoning the devil, and you got this three teenage-ish, two guys and a female. They ride bicycles, man. They're tough. They're leather, chains, smoking cigarettes, riding bicycles.
It's like thrashing.
Yeah, they're thrashing. This one is good.
Yeah, it's not that. I mean, it's
good. It's not great.
It's not great.
This is probably the weakest out of all of them for me.
Yeah. The one thing I did know is like the young stranger in that one was in It.
Yes.
He was the one that had the cast on his arm.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got Boo Boo Stewart, who also played Warpath in one of the newer X-Men films. Because I was like, hey, I know who that guy is.
That's Boo Boo.
Yeah. So, it wasn't great. It was good. It was interesting. And the effects were really good. There was a good blood splatter scene.
Oh, yeah.
That Meg laughed out loud at. And I laughed out loud.
What'd you think of the creature in this one?
It wasn't bad. The creature effects in throughout the whole thing were really good. As far as, like, you know, any of the other effects, the fire was about what was really lame.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the fire looked horrible. But other than that, I mean, this is another one of those that, like I said, I think is probably the weakest of the ones for me, personally. But still, it's part of it. There again, it's in the middle of the movie, so it's okay if you're going to put something kind of not superb, throw it in the middle, you know, because you definitely want to end with impact. The next one, which was the fifth segment, is Grim Grinning Ghost, and this was written and directed by Excel Carolyn, who also produced this. It's a young woman played by Alex Esso, is haunted by a malevolent spirit. And this one has some pretty good stars in it as well.
Lynn Shea, Barbara Crampton.
Barbara Crampton. You've got Mick Garris.
Lisa Marie, Stuart Gordon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you had a lot of the heavy hitters in this one. And I loved Lynn Shea's opening, telling the story of the spirit. And I loved that. I believe it was Mary. No, it wasn't Mary. The spirit of Mary, whatever it was.
Mary Bailey or something like
that. Yeah, I did. I loved that, man. She has a voice and a way of bringing out things kind of from the insidious side that just creeps the shit out of me, man. It does. And it actually, that story had me going. I'm watching it. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's a pretty damn good story. And then
it was a good story.
And then the cackling, cackling. I was like, oh, shit.
Pulled the wool over your eyes on that one.
Yeah. But then it just kind of went, it was decent.
Yeah. I mean, it petered out.
It did peter out. It started out great, though. And then it kind of petered out. And then Ding Dong. This one was written, directed by the great Lucky McKee. This is where a man learns that his wife is a child-hungry witch and tries to put a stop to her.
Let me tell you about this one. This one was frigged up.
Yeah, this is kind of the Hansel
and Gretel. It was twisted. Yeah.
Which you got to look, it's Lucky McKee. I mean, he did May. This is Lucky McKee. Lucky is a weird dude, man.
Yeah, this is... It was messed up because I was like, yeah, I don't want to spoil it, but it was a little out there.
It was. I mean, multiple arms, different faces.
One more thing. The fingers looked like damn carrots.
Yes. Thank you. And the fake fire scene, the CGI.
Yeah.
Horrible. This one just... Matter of fact, I put decent on this one as well. It was just decent. I really was looking for this one to be outstanding with Lucky McKee, but I got a Lucky McKee film. I got a weird ass, because May, if you've never seen May, is a fricked up movie.
I don't think I've ever seen May.
Oh, God, it's so fricked up and weird and out there, and Lucky McKee's that way. And a lot of people like Lucky McKee because of that. He's different. And
what was that other movie that he... Didn't he do the... One had Kelly LeBrock as like the hotel lady or the apartment lady. Or am I thinking of, you know what I'm talking about?
You talking about the innkeepers?
Yeah, was that him?
No.
Okay.
No, that's not Lucky McKee.
I swore that was Lucky McKee. No, Ty West. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, but Lucky Man didn't get too lucky for me in this one. It was an okay segment, but there again. Yeah. The middle of this movie, I'm telling you, some of them are the weakest are in the middle. But hang on, because the next one, This Means War, written and directed by Andrew Kosh and John Skip. Man battles his new neighbor to the death for the best Halloween decorations on the block. I like this one, dude.
This one made me laugh. It had, Sean Clark was in it. Yes. Adam Green was in it throwing up.
You've got James Duval from Donnie Darko and different movies.
Yeah.
You got Alyssa Dowling. And, oh, my God, this one was so much fun, man. This one is the premise of this one is you've got this guy that's been decorating his house for years and years and years, obviously, with skeletons and old school stuff. And then you've got this new guy across the street moves in, and it's James Duval, and he's a metalhead. He's a rocker. You know, he's got his slutty girlfriend. He's got, you know, death metal music rolling. He's got gore and blood. And this guy's like, he's like, you can't do this. And he walks over, tells him to cut his music down, and that kind of deal ensues in a big, large fight. That was hilarious, man. And oh my God, I love this segment so much, man.
this one had the most, it had more of the, a lot of the other actors and stuff from the other segments in it, because they were all, like, I guess, out trick-or-treating.
Yeah.
Exactly. And there, you know, I'm just like, huh.
And you got the Adam Green throw-up scene.
Yeah, that it reminds me of Hatchet.
So good, man. So
like,
good.
Nobody throws up like Adam Green.
No, they do not. And I had a lot of fun with this one. This Means War picked it back up for me. I was like, all right, now we're back into some really, really, really good stuff. Where the other ones are not bad, don't get me wrong, but they're just not all there. This one brought it back for me, and I had so much fun with it, man. James Duvall, just freaking awesome. And there again, Sean Clark in a few sections of this one as well, and we know Sean, and it was kind of cool that I knew him and was like, hey, there's Sean.
It's like, hey, I've talked to this guy before.
Hey, what's up? And this Means War, so there you go. And then you go into one of my all-time favorites, man, Friday the 31st.
Oh, my gosh. This one, I don't even know how I can even remotely respond to this one.
So freaking. Okay, it was written by Mike. Yeah, written by Mike Mendez and Dave Parker, directed by Mike Mendez. It's a deformed serial killer played by Nick Principe. Meets his match when a trick-or-treating extraterrestrial gets upset when he does not have any candy.
Trick-or-treat. It was so stupid, it was funny. And you know what? I appreciate it because it made me laugh a lot.
It did. I mean, this was like so much fun, man, to me. This one is the one I was going to say felt like Chillerama, felt like Adam Green's Hatchet.
Yeah, because of the amount of blood that came out of it.
And even the character, the Jason knockoff in this one, he looked like a Jason Voorhees / Victor Crowley mix.
He was a knockoff.
He was, and he was a goofball. And it opens with this very hot, sexy, slutty looking...
I don't even know what she looked like.
And I wouldn't even say slutty. It was just the way her outfit. She was very hot, and she was dressed kind of like in a little Bo Peep or something kind of outfit, which made it look kind of slutty. Not saying she was slutty. It just kind of looked that way. But anyway, super hot. And she ends up being chased by him, and she's got the mascara running. She's screaming. She's crying. And she goes into the shed, and there's all these tool implements that she could use. And then you got the dude through the window, and the fight pursues. And this one has so much. I even put on this one, I put Jason Hatchet looking killer, and it's also Evil Dead like.
Yeah, you can
see the green eyes, the girl floating in the air being drug across. I mean, it's had a lot of Evil Dead nod to me, which I loved. And it had a lot of the gore of Hatchet, where there was a lot of blood in this one, although there was some CGI blood toward the end that was really phony, but there was a lot of practical blood in this one that was awesome. There was severed stuff, there was just so much, and the creepy little alien.
It was insane.
It was off the wall. I would love to see a full film of this one.
I enjoyed it.
Yes.
I enjoyed it a lot.
Yes, I was so glad when this segment come on, because after the last three that just really didn't hit the boat, this one hit it. And I was like, yes, you know, perfect. Loved it. Great. And there again, Friday the 31st, one of my favorites of the whole section or the whole movie. And then the next one was really, really good too. And that's The Ransom of Rusty Rex, written and directed by Ryan Schifrin. Two bank robbers played by Jose Pablo Cantillo and Samuel Witwer. And I knew these two guys, man. These guys have been on TV. These guys are pretty heavy hitters as far as once you see them, you know them. You're like, oh, my God, I know these dudes.
It's like, yeah.
And this was well done. And you got John Landis, So,
yeah, he was just like, hey.
Because the whole setup of this one is these two guys are going to kidnap this little boy because John Landis's character is a millionaire. And they're like, oh, we're going to kidnap his son. And he's going to give us all the money that we want to have his child back.
Yeah, they got fooled.
Yeah, Jose didn't want to do it. Jose's character was like, no. And he's like, dude, nobody's going to get hurt. It's all going to be good. This guy's going to give us the money. Easy peasy. You know, we're going to get it done. Kidnaps the kid, calls Mr. Landis's character up and like, hey, dude, I got your son. And he starts laughing and he hangs up and he's like, what the fuck? You hung up on me. And he calls him back and he's like, yeah, you don't know what you've done, boy.
It's like, thanks. We've been held hostage by this guy for the last 5 years.
So
it's good. Like, yeah.
The effects of this little, without spoiling the quote unquote kid in this one, the makeup effects of this was freaking phenomenal, man.
Yes. Yeah, it absolutely cracked me up. I'm like, this person is so ugly.
Yes. And
it worked.
It went places I didn't think it would go, and I loved it. It does have cheese. It has goofball moments, man. It's almost like that slapstick cop element, you know, where you got those dumb cops that trip over their shoestrings. Just kind of had that feel of the kidnappers, and the ending was perfect of that one.
Yeah, I saw the ending. I knew it was coming because I was like, there's absolutely no way. It's like,
so good.
It was funny.
So good, man. I love that one. God, it was good. And then you go in from that one, you go into Bad Seed, which was written and directed by Neil Marshall. And this one was directed by him, but starred Christina Kleeb. And
yeah.
She tries to put a stop to genetically engineered man-eating pumpkin, which terrorizes the town.
Straight up Halloween 3-esque.
Thank you. I was going to ask you if you felt that.
You especially towards the end.
Yes. Even Invasion the Body Snatcher ending. This one had the feel of a big production thing. I mean, not as far as money, but it just had a feel of this was going to be a full-length movie, this section.
Mm-hmm.
It just had that feel, the build-up of the detectives, of Christina Kleeb being like a detective, and then the guns and the shooting, the different things. This one felt like it could have been a full-length movie.
It could have. And the effects with the pumpkin were awesome.
Yes. Gore. It had everything you'd want in it. And I thought it was a really, really good way to end this movie. I thought it was a good way to tie everything up, leave it on a cliffhanger, because obviously there's going to be Tales of Halloween 2. I personally, Double H, as many independent horror film directors we have out there, and people wanting to break into the business, I love that they had this outlet to where they can put all their short films together and put it into a movie, right? Now, do this every year. I would love to see them do this as a Halloween tradition. Every year we get a Tales for the Halloween or whatever you want to call it. But even if it's not 10, give us 5, give us 2, get whatever. But give us like an anthology style every year, kind of like this. And I would be like totally down for that, dude.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt. It's like I'm still waiting on Trick or Treat 2.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I love the anthology films. They crack me up, especially when they're done right.
Yeah, and this, by, you know, as much as I enjoyed it, this is not Trick or Treat, listeners. This is not a classic, but it's really good for an independent horror film. And I should say horror/comedy, or maybe I should say comedy/horror. There's a lot more comedy than horror. But there again, there's some really, really, really good film short stories in this one. Some are not as good, but like I said, but overall, man, I had a lot of fun with this one. This would be a solid 7.5 for me. It's a solid anthology that I'm going to go ahead and say Double H is going to go on to my Halloween watch every year.
Yeah, I could do that. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed the piss out of it. I thought it was funny. So
yeah. And that's something too. I have not done Double H this year is watch Chillerama. Now that I'm thinking about it, I've got to watch Chillerama.
I've not watched it yet either. I don't have a lot of my movies unboxed. So
I don't either.
I mean, I've got my Halloweens and, I got the essentials.
Yeah, I've got all my Halloween films, although I cannot find my Halloween Blu-ray box set. I don't know. I've got it boxed somewhere up. I don't know where. But I have all my Halloween Blu-rays. I've got freaking 15 versions of each movie. So I've got all my Halloween films in the house. I've got all my Arrow Video films in the house. I've got all my kind of special featured style like those Scream Factory releases. I have them in the house. But all my other, like, generic DVDs and Blu-rays are in the storage building if I need them. Luckily, they're only 5 minutes away from the house. I can drive out and get them, but it's a matter of going to the storage building, digging them out, and oh my God, by the time I get there, I forgot what movie I was looking for.
I know the feeling.
It's aggravating. Listeners, give me a gazillion dollars so I can go ahead and buy a mansion and be done with this. But it'll happen soon, listeners. I'll get settled into my new place and everything will be hunky-dory and all my movies will be displayed again and everything will be great in the world.
That's what I'm talking about.
But there you go. Tales of Halloween, solid 7.5 from me, Double H.
Oh, yeah. I'm right there with you. I've actually got it like a 7.5 to an 8.
Yeah.
Because on IMDb, you can't rate like half numbers. And I think I've got it listed as an 8 just because I enjoyed it and it made me laugh.
Yes, I had a lot of fun, and I will rewatch this one multiple times. There again, I mean, I try to buy everything Tiffany Shepard is in anyway. She's in this one, so I'm going to buy it. I watched it on Netflix, so I will be purchasing this one for sure. Lots and lots of fun. But, man, Halloween time, what are you guys going to be doing on Halloween? Are you going trick-or-treating? Are you watching your favorite horror films? Comment, let us know, send us messages, say, hey, this is what we're doing. I know somebody had asked if maybe we would review ghost house movies, Double H, you know, movies revolving around ghostly house movies, you know, something different. And I love those movies. I mean, you get into movies like House on Haunted Hill, you get into movies like Ghost itself, and even House, and you get into movies like that. I really like those. I really do. But I'll tell you another one I got to throw in probably this week, Double H, is The Entity. I got to rewatch The Entity this year. I've been missing me some Barbara Hershey and some... God, that movie still scares shit out of me, dude.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever seen it.
Oh, my God, Double H. You got to watch it.
I honestly don't know if I've ever seen it or if I've just, I don't even know. Can't explain it.
You got to watch it. It's so, to me, so scary. I mean, a lot of people call it, you know, there's some people that'll say, oh, dude, that movie sucked balls or that movie was boring or whatever. But the first time I saw it scared the pajibas out of me, and it has scared me ever since, dude. Every time I watch it, I get freaked out.
I may have to try to find it and watch it.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
I do know, and there's, three more chances to watch House of the Witch on Sci-Fi.
Watch that. Let the listeners know, because I've got to watch it. You mentioned it to me, and I forgot to watch it that
night. Yeah, it's a sci-fi flick. It was originally called The Wiccan, but it's now called it. I guess when it came out, I guess they changed the name of it. It's called House of the Witch,
mm-hmm.
And it's actually been updated on IMDb. It used to say 2018, and it's directed by Alex Merkin, and it was written by Neil Elman. They filmed it here, about 2 miles from where I live now in Lexington, Kentucky. There is a old farmhouse mansion that is absolutely gorgeous and would be one of those that would be one of those big plantation style homes that you would redo,
mm-hmm.
that would be worth millions of dollars. Well, the land that this one's on sits next to the Costco and stuff like that, and there's like a bunch of pasture fields, so it's prime real estate for commercial building and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So at some point this house is probably going to get torn down, but It comes on Sci-Fi, and it debuted a week or so ago. And let me look here on Sci-Fi's website and see exactly when it's going to come back on the schedule. It's like a group of teenagers go, and there's like a witch or something that, in the house, and all kinds of hell breaks loose. But I've been in contact with the director, Alex Merkin, mm-hmm. and I'm going to try to get him set up for an interview.
What?
Yeah, that's my house. Let's see, House of the Witch. And it comes on tomorrow night at 10 p.m.
Which, listeners, is...
which is Eastern Standard Time.
Which is already passed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Monday, October the 15th. Tuesday, October the 17th at 3 p.m. And Monday, October the 30th at 2:30 p.m. So, there's three more chances. Yeah, so there you go.
Because this releases on 24th, so Monday the 30th at what time?
Will be the last 2:30 p.m. in the middle of the day.
2:30 in the middle of the day, DVR it if you're not at home. If you are home, watch it. And I'm sure Double H is going to hit DVD or something.
I asked them when it was going to come out, and they were still working on it. They don't have all the details yet, so, which I'm actually kind of shocked, because most of the movies that come on Sci-Fi will hit that following Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, they're right there for the taking. So, which I told them, I was like, I need to know so I can purchase it. And so, but I'm gonna, like I said, I'm going to try to set up something with the director. I want to watch it again and see what we can come up with, you know, and then maybe try to set something up and get you on, Greg. And
yeah, we'll do that. And there again, listeners, keeping in mind that sometimes these movies are given over to Sci-Fi, and Sci-Fi will put it on a rotation sometimes where it's a multiple rotation, or sometimes it'll be a couple times showing. This one will probably be a couple times Double H for the fact that it hasn't got a DVD release yet, so they're probably testing the waters to see where it'll go with viewership and that. But I'm fairly confident, man, that it'll probably get a DVD release within the year. There's anytime there's this situation where they give it over to Sci-Fi, they got to wait. There's a little bit of wait time.
Yeah.
Although they did Sharknado 14,000, whatever it was, the last one, it went straight to Sci-Fi first and then went out.
Yeah. So
you never know. We'll keep an eye out for it, for sure. I definitely am excited to check it out. Double H just,
yeah. So we got three more chances to check it out, and you know, Monday night at 10, Tuesday, October 17th at 3, and then Monday, October the 30th at 2:30. So
sweet DVR time. So there
that's
you go.
That's what I'm screaming.
So, listeners, Halloween time, eat your candy, your chocolate, check them, make sure there ain't no razor blades in them or anything like that. If you got toothbrushes in there instead of candy, don't bitch and raise and moan and groan. Use them.
You could take a knife and whittle a shank out and stab the dentist right in the gut.
That was so awesome, man. I loved it. It gave a whole new meaning to people giving you apples and shit for damn Halloween, man. What the
hell?
Yeah,
tell me about it.
You damn assholes. I used to hate it. He was like, God, give me some damn Reese's or something, man. What the hell I want an apple for? Damn.
Stupid. It's good times, though.
Stupid people. But anyways, eat your candy, man. Watch you some ghost shit or watch you some Halloween, man. Definitely watch Halloween 1978. Man, it's Halloween. You got to watch that movie. Keep in mind, go over to Areascope.com and check out Adam Green. See if Hatchet 4, a.k.a. Victor, is playing in your area. If it is, go support it. A lot of good horror films, man. If you got time, go to the theater and watch Happy Death Day. Support it so that more horror films will be put into theaters. It's great, like Double H had mentioned earlier, and like I'm saying, man, a slasher film number one in the box office, man, is amazing. It may end up being a pure shit movie, but hey, it made a lot of money, $20-some million, which, you know, it's not the IT standard, but hey, it's a lot of money for box office, and it's a slasher film, man. I'm all for it. So Go support it. Go watch it. All that good stuff. Saw's coming out this week, next week, I think, the new Saw film. I'm going to definitely go check it out because I love that series. And I'm very excited to see Jigsaw back.
And Stranger Things Season 2, October the 27th.
October 27th, as this comes out on 24, three more days to do your binge watching of the 8 episodes so you can watch
Season 2. They released that new trailer, and I got cold chills.
I'm not watching it. I wish I wouldn't have watched the first trailer. I don't want to be spoiled.
Yeah, they don't spoil a whole lot. It's I'm excited. I can't help it.
Well, there you go. Stranger Things, too. So get your Halloween boo on. Man, I love this time of year, Double H. I love Halloween. So we love you, listeners. Thank you. Comment. All that good stuff. If you didn't like the episode, I'm sorry. Comment on it as well. Hey, we take criticism just like we take positivity.
That's right.
So there you go. So for the next episode, maybe possibly we might do Happy Death Day by then. I'm not sure yet, but maybe we'll do that. Or a babysitter or something. We'll figure it out, and we'll let you know. But until next time, go over to you, Double H. What you got in closing?
Nothing much. Good episode. Got some good stuff coming out. Good shows. Good movies. Go support these horror films. Mm-hmm. The more money they make, the more the films they'll make. Some of them may be good. Some of them may not be good. But, you know, you won't know until you go to the theater. Don't be bootlegging shit.
That's right. Watch it. Buy it. And I'm going to go ahead and go on record here, too. Don't take everybody's word for it. A lot of people say, well, Greg and Mortis, you say it's a shit movie. I'm not going to watch it. Just because I don't like it might not mean that you won't like it. So everybody's got their own taste, man. A lot of people will be, I've seen quite a few have been shitting on Happy Death Day. I'm not listening. I'm going to go watch it anyways because it may be end up being something that I really enjoy.
Sad part of it is a lot of those people that want to talk bad about movies and bash them, they probably didn't even go watch them.
Well, I know two of them did, but yeah,
and
I know what you're
yeah,
saying.
Well, yeah, and then if you're bootlegging a movie and then you bash it, then you have no right to bash a movie because you didn't pay to go see it.
Boom.
So, other than that, suck it.
So go check them out. And for me, you know, you can follow me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, all them places. You can email me at gregandmortis666@gmail.com. All those avenues, man. There again, Halloween time, get your boo on. If you have time this weekend as this episode releases, once again, Hillsborough, North Carolina, go over to the MyersHouseNC.com. You can get your the address and everything and the times. Greg and Mortis will be there. The Halloween Bash 9th anniversary autograph session with Mr. My Bloody Valentine original himself, and also with Halloween 4 and Halloween 5 being screened outside on drive-in theater style screen. It's going to be freaking phenomenal. Always a great turnout. There'll be probably 500, 600, 700, 800 people there. Not exaggerating. There'll be that many people. It's going to be a great time. So definitely come out. There again, if you show up, if you do come, say, hey, I'm looking for Greg and Mortis, and I'm sure somebody will direct you, or it may be me that you're asking, be like, can I speak to Greg and Mortis? And I'll be like, yeah, maybe. I would
he'll
love
be that,
to meet
he'll him. Be that guy hiding behind the tree that's peeing on himself.
I can't wait. Would love to meet you listeners, man, without a doubt. And also, there again, Double H, maybe Dr. Shock, even maybe Jesse Robbins. Maybe Justin Beam. Let's see if maybe the year 2018 might be the year that Land of the Creeps has a meet-up, greet-up kind of deal, and maybe at the Halloween Bash would be a good place to do it. If not, yeah, we'll plan something. So there again, Halloween 2017 down the drain. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll see you on the flip side. Greg and Mortis signing out. Peace.
Boo.